You're tuned to Local Motion, KVNS Weekly Public Affairs Program. I'm Lisa Young. On today's program, we are highlighting the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act, or the GORP Act for short. My guests today are all from Western Slope Conservation Center in Paonia, Colorado. Joining me are Hannah Stevens, Executive Director, alongside Tony Prendergast and Michael Berkeley. Let's begin with a little bit of background on the GORP Act, and Hannah, we'll start with you.
Thanks, Lisa. Yeah, the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act is a piece of legislation that has been introduced in Congress now, and if enacted, this would permanently protect 730,000 acres across western Colorado, protecting our public lands, safeguarding our water, wildlife, our local economies, and outdoor recreation. And this was really legislation that has been put together by local groups, by local people. It's homegrown conservation for local conservation issues.
Yeah, and that's really important. Tony, I think you have a little more background on how this actually got started. I understand it's like decades of planning, people thinking about what they needed to do, primarily in Gunnison County, but we'll talk a little bit here about how it affects Delta County. But Tony, tell me what you know about the kind of the ground level of how things got started.
Yeah, so it was back in 2012, I believe. There were different groups proposing conservation ideas around the Gunnison Basin, which is extends even beyond Gunnison County, and the surrounding mountain ranges and stuff. And that's why it spills into other counties besides Gunnison County. And, you know, some of those plans were cross-purposes with each other. And so Senator Bennett asked those groups to come together and form what ultimately became called the Gunnison Public Lands Initiative to bring their ideas to the table, and then, you know, started a really great process of a lot of just figuring out what the ideas were, what the issues were, and a lot of collaboration and compromise to arrive at solutions. And so that was a process that I joined at the invitation of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers in 2016, when the Gunnison Public Lands Initiative group was formed. And so, yeah, we spent a couple years just really looking area by area across the whole spectrum of the landscape, what needed to be done and what the solutions were. And it was a really amazing collaborative process with a group of people with a tremendous amount of boots on the ground knowledge of the issues. And so it was ranchers, it was water rights people, it was the group I was in was hunters and anglers, the motorized recreation, winter motorized recreation, mountain bikers. So a broad array of stakeholders were involved in that process.
Yeah, I don't think people realize what it takes to get something like this done and how many people are involved. It's not like just two or three people sat around a table and came up with this plan. It's a large number of stakeholders and people who come together and work on this. And I also think it's important to note that there is bipartisan support. We have Senator Michael Bennett, we have Senator John Hickenlooper, and U.S. Representative Jeff Hurd all involved with this. Maybe, Michael, you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Senator Bennett was a major driver in this process. He introduced legislation based on the recommendations that Tony mentioned. In 2022, Western Slope Conservation Center got involved around then, relating to the our county. But and then 2024, Senator Bennett introduced this into the Senate, along with Senator Hickenlooper. And then in May of this year, it was reintroduced under the new Congress. And Jeff Hurd, our new congressman here in our district, introduced it into the House of Representatives. So that's where it is now. It's in both the House and the Senate, thanks to this bipartisan bill.
And I would just like to say, having been involved with it, you know, since kind of the very early days of the boots on the ground stakeholders, how great it has been to see the political people pick it up and run with it. And yeah, across the political spectrum with our senators and our congressman, and actually congressmen from surrounding House districts as well. Congressman Nagus is a big one. Mm-hmm. And we just really want to say how much we're grateful to the, you know, to our senators and congressmen for taking it up and running with it. They see how much collaboration there was on putting this whole plan together.
And I think that's really key for a piece of legislation like this. When your political folks see that you've got a group of people all working together, a lot of stakeholders and a lot of diversity, that's something I feel like they could get behind and be more supportive of. Let's just talk a little bit about stakeholders. My understanding is that there are a number of counties and groups that are supporting this, and maybe we could talk about that.
Yeah, there are currently 6 counties that have signed on in support of the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act. Truly a bipartisan effort. So Gunnison County, Delta County, Sawatch, Hinsdale, Pitkin, and Ouray counties have all supported this, have seen the process develop over the years, and recognize that it is locally driven.
I also noticed that the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe is getting in a little bit on this. Mike, do you have something on that for us?
Part of this act would include Pine Crest Ranch, which is south of Highway 50, south of Blue Mesa Reservoir. And it currently is owned by the tribe, but it is on a fee basis. And this act would then convert it to a trust. And it's approximately 30,000 acres approximately, and it is definitely supported by the tribe.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting that they're a part of what is happening with this legislation that they're trying to get through. Hannah, one of the things that I noticed, you know, there's a lot of support. We talked about the 6 counties and then the stakeholders supporting, but just recently, Montrose County Commissioners voted 2-1 in opposition to the GORP Act. Those who voted against it were Commissioner Sean Pond and Commissioner Scott Majaris, and Commissioner Sue Hansen was opposed to their opposition to the GORP Act. Can you tell me a little bit about your reaction to that and your thoughts?
So the formation of GORP and the Gunnison Public Lands Initiative was really an open process from the beginning, and everyone had a chance to participate. You know, while there aren't lands in Montrose County in the GORP Act proposal, the communities are very close to some of these lands where Montrose County residents have a great connection and interest in their surrounding areas. You know, the Montrose County Commissioner opposition at this moment is really more ideological.
The Montrose County boundaries come close to some of the specific areas involved in this. I don't think there's actually a whole lot of watershed in Montrose County that's part of it, maybe a little bit. But the counties that have signed on, you know, are actually, some of them, you know, are also just close, but a lot of them have lands involved, you know, within it. So there, you know, it will always be ideological opposition, but I can say from having been in the stakeholder working group that the people who this directly affects, you know, from a diverse set of stakeholder groups, you know, from ranchers to recreationists to, you know, motorized to quiet use type participants, worked through the issues and found common ground. And that's what's really important to know about this. So nothing in the act will change existing uses on the ground.
Yeah, we're right here in Paonia. We're at Western Slope Conservation Center. And, you know, there's going to be an impact here with the North Fork Valley, the watershed here. And so I'd kind of like to turn and talk a little bit about those impacts here, specifically Delta County and what's going to be happening.
Yeah, so the process in Delta County really reflects and mirrors the same process that was happening in Gunnison County. The provisions that are now included in the GORP Act were based on over a decade of community conservation around what conservation values our community holds and what is really critical to the well-being of our communities, to our watersheds, to our food production. And when we had an opportunity to join Senator Bennett in talking about some provisions that could be included for Delta County in the GORP Act. We were able to land on an oil and gas withdrawal, which is one of the major provisions then for Delta County, which would protect much of the North Fork Valley floor. This would be all on BLM lands, and as well as a no surface occupancy designation for some pretty large areas in the GMUG, the Grand Mesa and Compagre. So those are two really important provisions for our area, reflecting the values that we've talked about for years. You know, there's oil and gas extraction, but does it need to be in places where our food is produced and where we rely on clean water? We think not. There's also provisions for Delta County that would protect public recreation access down at the Gunnison Forks Pleasure Park area, which many of your listeners will be familiar with as a really popular boating access to get on the Gunnison River. It would also ensure that it would allow for the transfer of a special use permit that currently exists for motorized access into the Gunnison Gorge National Conservation Area. In addition to thanking our representatives in Congress for introducing this bill, we want to thank our Delta County commissioners and everyone who's been involved in this for supporting the GORP Act.
Yeah, and Hannah, I understand that that's important for a lot of reasons. Delta County looks at that economically for those folks who come down and enjoy the river. Also, maybe for some rescue, you know, needs for rescue, water rescue along the river, if I have that correct. Let's take a look here at the North Fork Valley GORP Act areas. Who would like to talk about those?
Yes, regarding the mineral withdrawal portion of it that Hannah mentioned, way up off up Stevens Gulch, for instance, would be Electric Mountain area, which is right above Hubbard Park. That would be part of the no surface occupancy portion of that, as far as oil and gas. Also, sort of close to Overland Reservoir, just north of that and south of that, as a big section of that would be included, and also above LaRue Creek area. And then most of the BLM land, the lower areas of the public lands surrounding the North Fork Valley, would be no new oil and gas leases. That would be the main areas impacted by the mineral withdrawal. There are other areas close by that we can get in later that are in Gunnison County.
Just for folks who are listening right now, what resources, or can you direct them to a resource if they would like to look up information? Where would they go?
I would direct people to go to the main GORP website, which is www.gorpact.org. You can also visit the Western Slope Conservation Center's website for more specific information around the North Fork provisions.
We're not going to be able to get into everything, so I encourage folks to go to those sites. There's reading you can do. They have some great information. You can go as deep as you want to go and learn everything that you'd like to learn about the GORP Act and how it will benefit our area as far as conservation goes. You can also look on, you know, Google it and look for those who are in opposition and why, and then make up your own mind as to what you think about it. But this is an important piece of legislation that it's going to be kind of an uphill battle, I think, but doesn't mean it can't happen. But the current climate with the Trump administration will make it a little bit more difficult.
You're tuned to Local Motion, KVNS weekly public affairs program. I'm Lisa Young. On today's program, we are highlighting the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act, or the GORP Act for short. My guests today are all from Western Slope Conservation Center in Paonia, Colorado. Joining me are Hannah Stevens, Executive Director, alongside Tony Prendergast and Michael Berkeley.
So I understand that the GORP Act, we've been talking a little bit about watersheds and different conservation and mineral withdrawal and not, you know, oil and gas, not having the oil and gas leases. But one of the key elements to this is wildlife. And Tony, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about why this act is so important for our wildlife.
So one of the things that I've, you know, lifelong resident of Colorado, and I've always noticed that, you know, as more development happens around the state and more recreation pressure, you know, more mountain biking trails were proliferating, motorized recreation, every kind of recreation. And wildlife is often the thing that gets pushed aside. And wildlife exists across large landscapes. It exists, you know, its habitat crosses different kinds of land management agency boundaries, you know, between Forest Service and BLM and the recreation areas and stuff, and private land, you know. And so this act doesn't touch private land at all, but it does have protection measures across both BLM and Forest Service lands, which is significant. But also we were looking a lot at how do you protect wildlife migration between high country, summer, you know, habitat and critical winter habitat. And so these were all things that we were looking at across a large landscape of the Gunnison Basin. And one of the specific provisions of the act are called wildlife conservation areas or wildlife management areas, I'm sorry. And, you know, they're just a specific language to protect large swaths of wildlife habitat and give land managers specific tools to manage wildlife habitat. That's different to some extent than wilderness areas, for instance, because wildlife often requires some vegetation management to, and you'll see in the act that there's one of the largest land designations across the whole proposal is these wildlife management areas.
Right, and the wildlife don't know the county boundaries or watershed boundaries or who thinks this or who thinks what. So it takes a collaborative effort in that watershed to determine what needs to be done for the wildlife. And some people have been concerned about not just the wildlife, but for our farmers and ranchers. I'd like to maybe pivot toward that and talk a little bit about that.
You bet. So I'm a rancher over in the Crawford area, and you know, there's this tremendous interface actually between livestock and wildlife often and grazing, and you know, they require a lot of the same habitat. And one of the, so ranchers, the Gunnison County Stockmen's Association, were major at the table stakeholders in this whole process. And they were seeing a lot of pressures from recreation, different types of recreation that were getting in the way of their summer grazing operations. And so they were at the table and actually very interested in how they could benefit from various protections. And actually I found that a lot of the wildlife interests and ranching interests, you know, were actually pretty similar because it's all habitat. Basically for grazers, it protects the status quo for them. It doesn't take anything away from ranching and public land grazing, but it protects their right to graze on public land to a great extent. You know, I mean, it's still within appropriate management of, you know, however resources may change in different climate conditions, et cetera. But it basically protects the right to graze public lands, and will be written into the legislation.
Mike, what about hunters and that aspect?
Real simply, the GORP Act will not change hunting or wildlife management rules. Colorado Parks and Wildlife would continue to be primarily responsible for wildlife management. And in fact, this is one of the big supporters of this act is backcountry hunters and anglers. So nothing will change based on this act.
Another area that we haven't really talked about, but I do want to talk about, is wildfires, too. I know that the GORP Act has some stipulations or different areas as far as it goes for wildfires. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Same thing with wildfires. The GORP Act includes provisions to ensure that federal land managers and emergency responders continue to have access to respond to emergencies within wilderness and the other proposed designations. So this will ensure that it's going to be to have the federal land managers will have discretion to fight wildfires within these proposed areas.
We want to circle back for a minute and talk about how the bill reflects the input from the surrounding counties and also feedback from Senator Michael Bennett and the comment period, and just kind of, you know, reiterate the fact that there has been a lot of support for this act.
Yeah, well, from what I've learned, I wasn't here when this started under the Gunnison Public Lands initiative, but from the get-go, Senator Bennett was interested not in formulating something ahead of time and bringing it to a community, but the opposite. He wanted the community to formulate plans that made sense for their areas and bring that toward this effort.
Original stakeholders around the table all had pretty extensive connections into the community. You know, so there was, they all had their constituent groups that were able to weigh on, and they were everything from local groups to really national level groups. So that brought a lot of outreach, you know, to the process, just sort of baked into it. And then, you know, really the county commissioners and in Gunnison County, you know, the county commissioner, the ones who convened the stakeholder group actually and, you know, provided resources to meeting space and stuff like that. And then they were very much a part of it. So there was a lot of local outreach throughout that process through the county and the towns in the whole area. And then, you know, the senators have done a great job also of putting a lot of good information out on websites and holding hearings. And there's been a lot of outreach that way as well. So a lot of opportunity for public input and, you know, active solicitation of public input. Yeah. So basically I think the act very much does is it protects what is right now. And what it limits is future development of more trails or, you know, and that's why it allows for, say, vegetation management around fire. But it's going to stop a proliferation of especially, say, new trails, new motor. And there are specific provisions for some new potential bike trails, and that would be under travel management. But to a great extent, it's preserving the status quo. That's why it won't change any existing uses. But it's protecting existing uses such as wildlife habitat, such as grazing, without them facing additional pressures of recreation and trail development and stuff like that.
It has the function of protecting what is already here and then limiting further intrusion to what is already here. I know there are folks who are concerned about, you know, your private land rights. We hear a lot about that. And my understanding is that the GORP Act will not have anything, you know, to do with people's private land rights. Those will still be intact. Do I have that correct?
Exactly. Yes. And so, like, you know, if you had a mining claim deep in some public land area and you have valid existing rights, those are honored and you still have access to those and you know, can exercise your vested private land right.
Right. It's not going to affect that.
And same with water. That's very important. So, you know, if there's a ditch way in a, you know, in a public land area, access to that ditch, maintaining it, the water right is all protected in the act.
Yeah. So just in terms of people's opposition, what do you hear? I mean, what is the opposition to the act, Hannah? Why are people pushing back and what are their fears?
You know, there's various reasons people react to especially large public lands bills like this. There has also been some misinformation put out about it. So that's, you know, that can be an unfortunate part of this process. But as long as the conversations are happening, then that's the important aspect of it.
Yeah. And, you know, the other part of that, again, is folks actually going and reading for themselves and doing their own research. We all get a little bit lazy and we have certain folks that we listen to that maybe politically fit our way of thinking. And so we often shortcut the process for ourselves instead of actually going and reading what it's really about. We just listen to the talking points of other people. And that's why we just really encourage you, anyone, to go and read for yourself and understand what it's about. We're wrapping up our time here at the Western Slope Conservation Center talking about the GORP Act that is now introduced in the House and the Senate. It has a lot of bipartisan support. There are a number of stakeholders and counties that are supporting the initiative and want to see it go through. And as we wrap it up, I'll just open it up to any of my guests today, Hannah Stevens, the Executive Director, Tony Prendergast, and Mike Berkeley, to kind of wrap us up. Any final thoughts?
You know, I would add that we were talking about some of the local protections more specifically, and I just wanted to point out that, you know, this includes protecting the town of Paonia's source water areas. It would also protect Jumbo Mountain, which is now a very popular and important recreation area for this community and attracts tourism also. So at the local level, this would be a really important legislation. But I think just coming back to the idea that this has been vetted over years and years with all these different groups we've talked about, it just speaks so highly to the process of a bill like this. It's a very ambitious bill. I think everybody knew that going into it, but that was the idea, to have six counties from both Republican and Democratic leaning sides is noteworthy.
And I'll also add the input and work from the community in the North Fork Valley, including the Western Slope Conservation Center. We've done a lot of on the ground, getting out on a lot of these impacted lands over the last few years. And there's a lot of special designations in this act close to the North Fork Valley, not just related to the mineral withdrawal piece of it, but additional wilderness, for instance, in the backside of Mount Lamborn, as well as near Erickson Springs, and some special management area, special designations, Pilot Knob, and a big portion of acreage up Clear Fork in the upper Muddy Creek area, as well as other designations like Horse Ranch Recreation Management Area. That's an hour drive from here on off Kebler Pass, and the Beckwith Special Management Area, also off of Kebler Pass. So a lot of areas of interest here.
Yeah, Tony, any final thoughts today?
Yeah, I think one of the things that was always in the minds of the stakeholder group was the regional economics and what are the sustainable economic drivers that will, you know, have been here for the last 100 years and are going to be, you know, what are the economic drivers in another 100 years? And it's not, you know, just one single thing. It's like the whole picture. And so I think that what this act represents is stabilizing a lot of the major economic drivers of this greater region. And so I'm talking, you know, all the Gunnison Basin and all this, a lot of the surrounding counties that touch that, you know, and after a lot of review and collaboration and compromise, I feel very confident that this act addresses economic stability for the long haul for this region.
And I guess just the final question and really the big unknown is, how do you feel it's going to go? Nobody knows what's going to happen. Have you heard anything back from our senators and representatives on how things are progressing?
Hard to say. We are in a interesting political climate right now. It could be a long road ahead still, but that's to be expected right now.
Yeah, we're originally hoping for hearings towards the end of this year, but we don't really expect that. And in a way, we are patient and can wait.
The process has been going for a long time, and I think we have a lot of patience and motivation to drive this through. And it may not be immediately, but at some point, you know, I think there will be movement on it.
I'm really amazed by the resiliency and the dedication to this project. Already talking a decade in the work about, you know, to get it to where it is. And then getting the bipartisan support is really key, working and continuing to work. I love that, because I don't know if I'd have the stamina to do what all of you have been doing, and your work is really appreciated. And the fact that I think you just have to keep the hope, right? You know, you've done the right thing. You've done the work. You've put together a really good piece of legislation. Sometimes I know you feel like you're casting the dice and just wondering what's going to happen, but folks who don't give up usually win. So good luck on everything today, and thank you for being a part of Local Motion.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And I think you got it just right. We have to keep the hope.
You've been listening to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Lisa Young. On today's program, we highlighted the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act, or GORP Act for short. Special thanks to my guest, Hannah Stevens, Executive Director of Western Slope Conservation Center in Paonia, Colorado, alongside Tony Prendergast and Michael Berkeley. Local Motion airs weekly at 5 p.m. on Tuesday evenings and again Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find all our Local Motion shows at kvnf.org. Under the News tab, look for Local Motion.